else? You do all read your church emails? No, there's not. There's one raised hand. I bet I haven't got very good glasses on, but anyway. The church email this week had on the front of it the following text from John 20, verse 29. Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." I'm going to come back to that verse if I make it. You can probably hear there's a good chance I won't make it through the evening because I just find it a bit emotional talking about Thomas. I first went to India in, 2014, 10 years ago. And Thomas is the patron saint of India because he did a massive amount of work introducing the subcontinent to Jesus, the anointed one. And then in 16 and 19, Penny and I went back to the same place. And we're kind of nuts about India and Thomas. So I'll try and hold my voice together and not blub too much. Thank you, Meg. That's very thoughtful. That stuff, when Jesus was talking to Thomas, it's much easier. I can lean on this now. I can pull on this, can I? No, I'm going to have to move back, otherwise I'll pull it out. That conversation between Jesus and Thomas took place on the Sunday after Easter Sunday, in the evening. Anything significant about that? It's where we are now, isn't it? We're at the Sunday after Easter Sunday, and it's the evening. And that's when that conversation between Jesus and Thomas took place. And I saw this verse on the front of the email the other day, and I thought, I've got a sermon on that I've been... Well, I shared it once with a leader over in India where we go, and I've never shared it here. So here we go. Think for a minute, what had happened that led up to that conversation between Jesus and Thomas? We know that Jesus had said to Thomas, just before the bit we read from that verse, "Do not be ready to disbelieve, but believe." And it's because of that verse that most of the Western church refer to Thomas as doubting Thomas. But my question is, and the question I'd like you to ask is, did he really deserve that? I'm going to go back to Easter Sunday now, so a week earlier. So this whole evening is about going backwards through the scriptures, I'm afraid. The disciples were in the upper room, and Luke in chapter 24, verse 13, tells us that Cleopas and his companion had returned quite hurriedly from Emmaus with news that they had walked along the road with a man. This man had taught them about Jesus from throughout the scriptures. But they'd not recognized that it was Jesus they were walking along the road with. Then they went into an inn for some supper, and Jesus went in with them. And over supper, he broke bread. And at that point, they recognized him. Sorry, I'm going to do it again. So I guess Cleopas and his companion couldn't finish their supper. They got up straight away and raced back to Jerusalem, to the upper room, to tell everybody what had happened. But sadly, Mark chapter 16, verse 13 records, the rest of the disciples didn't believe Cleopas or his companion. John 20, verse 19, tells us that on Easter Sunday, The doors were locked. The doors of the house with the upper room were locked for fear of the Jews. No one could get in. No one could get out. But Jesus came and arrived through the door, or maybe through the walls. We don't know. But he was there, standing in the midst of them, it says. But the doors were firmly locked for fear of the Jews. And they became even more afraid now. Here was, well, it looked like Jesus. But John records, they thought it was a spirit, a ghost. And they were even more afraid. But Jesus said to them, come, see me and feel. Feel my hands, feel my side. A spirit has no flesh and bones, as you see I have. And they took courage from that, of course. Dodging back to Luke, I'm all over the Gospels this evening. Are they trying to keep up with me, these guys from the back? All right, it's Luke 24, verse 38, guys at the back. Luke records how Jesus said to them, why are such questionings in your mind? So despite that he'd explained to them that he was more than a spirit, he had flesh and bones, they were still questioning in their minds. He was correcting them, but he went on to encourage them to believe and even asked if they had some fish for him to eat, because they knew quite well that a spirit without any flesh or blood, or bones, I should say, could eat fish. Mark chapter 16, verse 14, records similarly that the Lord was disappointed by their unbelief. He said to them, or Mark records that he upbraided them for their unbelief and obstinacy in not having believed those who had seen him alive earlier that day, including Cleopas, who just burst in the door. I don't know how he got in. He must have banged on the door and shouted, hey, it's Cleopas, unlock the door. I want to get in. I've got stuff to tell you. We're not told that bit, but I think that happened myself. But I want to ask you another question. Why was Thomas not there on that Easter Sunday evening? Any offers? Harry, come on. You're usually able to say something when others are tongue-tied. We're told that the rest had the doors barred shut for fear of the Jews. But Thomas had gone out. Why was that? We know from Mark, this is an answer I'm going to propose to you. You don't have to take it away because it's an answer I'm proposing to you from Scripture. From Mark chapter 14, verse 13, Jesus had told two of his disciples that they would find the room where they were all to share Passover together by following a man carrying a jar of water. So we know that there was no running water. There was no tap. Well, there wasn't a tap, was there? But there was no running water of any kind at the house with this upper room. If you visit Jerusalem, and it's fabulous to visit, but I wouldn't suggest you do it during wartime, in the old city, I think it's the former Armenian quarter, there's a first century house that's been excavated. It was a house of one of the high priests. And in the basement of it, there's a bathhouse with running water. In one of the songs we had this evening, I can't remember which one, it talked about living water. Remember that? Living water. Does anybody know what living water is to the Jewish people? No. This really is a teaching session tonight, isn't it? Living water is when it's moving. When it's not standing still. When it's not in a basin or a bath. It's when it's going straight through. So they had some of the wealthier folk had bathhouses in the basement with water running through so they could do their ceremonial washing and keep up with the requirements of Leviticus and all the rest of it. Sorry, this is going to spin it out beyond 10 minutes. Sorry about that. But you will learn something. Is that right? Nobody's very sure. Okay, I'll go back to being quick again. So there was no water supply at the house. Now, there's a good chance in my mind that Thomas would have gone out for water, because by now, Sunday evening, there had been more than 4 days since they set everything up for the Passover supper. That was Thursday evening. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday had gone past, as well as half of Thursday at least. So they would have needed some water by then, at the very least. So why Thomas? Well, evidently Thomas was the one who was not afraid of the Jews or their threats to stone Jesus and his disciples. See, what had happened a few weeks before, this is me working backwards through the scripture again, sorry about that, in John chapter 11, which is in fact only sort of 3 weeks before Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday anyways. A lot of John's gospel is just doing a rapid and very full record of what happened in these last few weeks. But in John 11, Jesus and his disciples had moved out of Jerusalem and across the Jordan because the Pharisees and the Sadducees had wanted to stone Jesus. And once they got to the other side of the Jordan, Jesus received news that his friend Lazarus was sick. And would he please come to Bethany to lay hands on Lazarus and raise him up again? When Jesus explained that Lazarus had in fact died, and that he himself was planning to go back into Judea to raise Lazarus from the dead, the Gospels record all except one of the disciples begged Jesus not to go back to Judea. They were all afraid of being stoned to death with him, except one. Now then, by now, you've been listening to me for probably 10 minutes, and I'm going to ask you the question. Take your courage. Who do you think the one might have been? Thomas. Is that Thomas, vaguely in the back? Any idea why? Why I can say that, I mean. What record is there? It's all right, I'll read it. In John 11, verse 16, sorry, this is one of those difficult verses again. The one who did not express fear about going back into Judea and the risk of being stoned to death. He said to his fellow disciples in John 11, verse 16, "We should follow him ourselves so that we should die with him." It's probably not written like that. As I've mentioned before from up here, I like reading the Bible in the Greek. I think there's no Bible translators who there's none that I've found anyway, who've been daring enough to put it like that. Some of them put it in a way that, to my mind, expresses that Thomas was himself being downhearted and feeling, well, this is the end of the road. They're determined to stone us. No hope. But actually, he was saying to the lads, the rest of Jesus' group, we should follow him. We should die with him If he's going to be stoned by the Pharisees, we should be there being stoned as well. Have you ever thought of your faith like that? In Jesus' final instructions, one of the Gospels recorded them as being on Easter Sunday. Others record them a bit later. But they all include a phrase that says, you will be my witnesses. And in the Greek, the word is martyres. Now, if I say that slowly, does that sound familiar? Does it sound like another word that we sometimes use in English? Martyres. So the first century concept of being a witness was that you were prepared to die for what you're testifying about. And that was part of Jesus' instructions. May not come out clear if you're just reading an English Bible, but if you can do it in Greek, that was what he said. You will be my witnesses. You are to be my martyrs. But we can see that on Easter Day itself, Thomas had been quite prepared to get out, get supplies for the rest of the team, while the rest kept the doors locked for fear of the Jews. Thomas was not afraid of the threats that had been made against all of them. And when Jesus appeared again through the locked doors on the evening of the Sunday after Easter Sunday, of which this is the anniversary, according to the church calendar, and he spoke to Thomas personally, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Now, here's one where a question where I know I'm going to be the winner. There won't be a lot of people shouting. How many here this evening have seen the risen Lord in the flesh? Remember what he said, I'm not a spirit here tonight, I have flesh and bones. Has anybody here seen the Lord in that way? Silence around the room. Then I can assure you, in the authority of Scripture, that you are in fact very, very, very blessed, because Jesus blessed you that you, every one of you, that night when he said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now that's you, isn't it? You've been blessed by Jesus from that night, the Sunday after Easter. There's a small postscript to that blessing, where I might have ended it. It's a postscript to the story about Thomas and his faith, which was sufficient to die with Christ. In John 21, of which we've had most already this evening, so I am going to include this paragraph, despite going long over my 10 minutes. At the beginning of John 1, he lists seven who went fishing after they got back to Galilee. You remember that on Resurrection Day, one of the angels had spoken to Mary of Magdala and had said to her, go tell my brethren that I will meet them in Galilee, on the mountain. Now, Mary was from Magdala, which is a little village on the northwestern shores of Lake Galilee. And behind Magdala, there's a mountain goes up fairly steeply, and in it there's a great bowl in the side, so that in many ways it looks like a Greek theatre We might think of them as amphitheatres, but is that not correct? An amphitheatre goes all the way around, doesn't it? Is that right, Penny? I can't see you. No. Yeah, the theatre is the halfway round. So the hill behind Mary's village looks like a theatre, and it is thought by many, and this goes back to St. Helen, who was touring around Roman Palestine in about the 300s, the 4th century, that was the location where Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount. Anyway, so they obeyed the instruction that had come through this angel who spoke to Mary Magdala and went back. Now, the last time I spoke up here, I mentioned how in a Greek book or letter or anything like that, where there is need to write a list of names, you would always put the most important person first, and so on down the line. So, for example, in the Gospels where you find a list of the 12 disciples, you will always find who at the bottom, number 12? Who was at the bottom? I can't hear. No, at the bottom, the least important. Judas Iscariot. Yeah. Who was at the top? Who is next? Penny, be quiet. James and John, usually. But here, in John's Gospel, chapter 21, who came next? Peter, then Thomas. Somehow or other, Thomas has taken a giant leap up from near the bottom of the list of 12 to second only to Peter. Whatever the Western Church may have thought about that one verse that we've got about Thomas, Jesus and the 12 all seem to have thought, hey, this guy is something else. We were all behind barred doors, but he wasn't bothered. He was telling us we should go with him and we should die with him. We weren't sure about that. But I think we should call him Thomas the Fearless, who did, in fact, go on to be martyred after sailing to India and then preaching the gospel all the way across the subcontinent from Kerala to Chennai on the Bay of Bengal coast. And that's where he was martyred, on the beach, having crossed from the west side of India, all the way to the east, preaching about Jesus. But tonight, remember, more than anything else, on the Sunday after Easter Sunday, Jesus gave a blessing that applied to all of you, all of us who are alive today. Blessed are those who have believed, even though they haven't seen me. Thanks.